Hey, Leading Learning listener, if you represent a membership organization looking for ways to expand your online course catalog rapidly with high-quality content, we have good news.
At leadinglearning.com/AMA, you can find out how to make online training from the American Management Association available to your learners.
Through a partnership between AMA and Tagoras, the parent company of Leading Learning, you can give your learners access to more than 70 e-learning modules covering essential business topics ranging from leading and innovating to managing projects effectively to working in hybrid teams.
For details on how to grow your catalog with courses from a true global leader in management training, visit leadinglearning.com/AMA.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 83 of the Leading Learning Podcast. This time around, we talk to Derek Warnock and Scott Kober, the two people behind what is easily the hippest event in the world of continuing medical education, CME Palooza. Before we get to the interview, though, we want to take a moment to thank Castle, our sponsor for the second quarter of 2017. Castle is an accomplished full-services certification and licensure testing company that also offers its clients a variety of learning solutions capabilities. With an expert team of testing and instructional design professionals and a 30-year history of excellence in its field, Castle understands what it takes to develop and deliver quality learning and certification programs. To find out more about Castle's custom learning solutions, go to leadinglearning.com/castle.
We also want to make sure Leading Learning podcast listeners are aware that there is also a Leading Learning newsletter. And we use this as a way to share high-value resources that we come across each month. And we package those up into a brief email that you can read and digest quickly. So if the Leading Learning podcast is audio intelligence for learning leaders, and we sincerely believe it is, then the Leading Learning newsletter is inbox intelligence for learning leaders. You can get the details and sign up by going to leadinglearning.com/newsletter.
And I'll mention, too, that the Leading Learning newsletter, like this podcast, is both high value and completely free. And that description also applies to CME Palooza. Jeff, you had the chance to find out more about that event. How did your conversation with Derek Warnock and Scott Kober go?
It was a great conversation. CME Palooza is something that's been on my radar screen for a number of years now. As you noted, it is a free event. It's very high value. For those listeners, we talk about, you know, what it is exactly in the context of the interview, but for those listeners who may not be tuned into the existence of CME Palooza or know exactly what it is, it is an online event. Takes place twice a year at this point, and it is aimed at individuals who work at creating and delivering continuing medical education or CME experiences. And this is a, you know, a one-day event where they pull together experts in topical areas to have them deliver sessions online and try to keep those as interactive as possible sessions online. And they use free tools to do this. So, you know, this was a great opportunity to talk with Derek and Scott about, you know, what CME Palooza is, how it came about, how it's worked, the technology behind it, and what organizations who might want to take advantage of this type of really kind of, you know, grassroots model for pulling together a great educational experience, what they might, you know, want to think about, take into consideration to capitalize on the lessons that Derek and Scott have learned.
Well, that sounds great. So let's get on with the interview.
Hello, this is Jeff Cobb, and I am very excited about the show we have lined up for today. If you are even remotely interested in creative, low-cost, and yet highly effective ways to deliver educational experiences, then you are in for a treat. In this episode, we're going to take a close look at what I think has to be the hippest learning event in the world of continuing medical education, CME Palooza. And you can find out all about CME Palooza at cmepalooza.com, and we're definitely going to dig into exactly what it is here in a minute. But first, I want to welcome the event's co-founders, Derek Warnock and Scott Kober. Derek and Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. And that's by far the nicest thing anyone's ever said about the two of us.
Yeah,
I don't think Derek has ever been associated with anything described as hip in his lifetime.
Come on.
Well, the bar in the continuing medical education world is probably fairly low, but you guys have definitely...
It's very high. It's extremely high.
You've now set it high. So... Well, thanks so much for being here. You know, and I definitely want to talk about what CME Palooza is, and also, you know, find out what you've learned from it that you might be able to share. But before we do that, you know, I want to make sure listeners know a bit about who the two of you are. And so, Derek, I know you work in healthcare education for Pfizer, the big drug company. So, what does your average day look like there?
So my average day is, I do a lot of, so we're, the medical education arm, so to speak, of the company. So a lot of grant review, putting together call for grant applications, reviewing grants, that makes up, I'd say, the large part of my day.
And Scott, if I understand correctly, you're an entrepreneur and, you know, you have a company called Medcase Writer, and I mean, that seems like a really specific niche sort of business, writing medical case studies. What took you down that path?
So I sort of have a journalism background. So when I moved into writing about healthcare, I sort of kind of created a niche in continuing medical education. And certainly I don't exclusively write case studies, but that's a lot of what I do. More broadly, I mostly will develop content for medical education programs, whether it's case studies or something else.
Great. And so now you've turned that into an actual company, an actual business, which I'm certainly a fan of, having been an entrepreneur myself for most of my life. So let's now then talk about this creation of yours, CME Palooza. And I mean, first of all, I have to ask, are both of you big music fans? Because I'm assuming that the name had to be inspired by Lollapalooza, the big famous music festival. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that is, it's hard for us to say that. No, we came up with the Palooza all on our own. It had nothing else to do with it. But yeah, it sort of did. It just because of the history behind how we put it together, the Lollapalooza certainly played into it. Plus, I thought it sounded cool. So
it definitely does sound cool. It goes back to, you know, setting that bar high in medical education. And so, who gets the credit for the idea between the two of you? I mean, did you come up with it together, or did one of you come up with it and have to sell the other one on it?
So I guess I get credit with the original idea. It started, I won't give you the long-winded history of it, but I mean, basically a couple years, 2014, maybe something like that. You know, in our area, there is, you know, the big annual conference, help me out here, Scott, the Alliance for Continuing Education of Healthcare Professions. So I get all the words right.
Close enough.
Yeah. So that's the big annual conference every year. And as part of that, you can submit abstracts and everyone or different people can present. And there had been, I'd had a couple years in a row where I was, you know, they were gracious enough to accept my abstract. And then what I had in mind kind of got changed, you know, from my original idea of what I wanted to present on. And I'd talked to a number of other people who didn't get accepted and they were disappointed. And I started to think of this idea of how sort of an offshoot kind of conference where, you know, people could just submit ideas and everyone could present, anyone who wanted to. And so that's sort of the Lollapalooza connection is, you know, all these little offshoot concerts that came off of the main stage of Lollapalooza. So that's sort of how I was thinking of with CME Palooza. And so that very first, the first time that I did it solo. Scott wasn't on board at that point. And basically I put out a call, anyone who wanted to be able to submit. The Roni rule basically was that it had to be something related to CME. Mm-hmm. And anyone who submitted an abstract was accepted. And it had, I don't know, 23 presentations from a half hour to an hour in length over 2 days. It was a little much for one person to do. And so that's when, and then Scott came on board after that. So that very initial one I did on my own. And then Scott's been on board
Well, that's a significant thing to take on by yourself. I mean, it sounds quite chaotic. I'm sure it was, as they say, herding cats to get it all to work.
It was a bit.
I'm sure. Could you take a minute for the uninitiated? And I think people are probably getting a sense of what CME Palooza is. But I mean, what is the experience of CME Palooza? What does it involve? Involve if somebody signs up, and this is an online event, I'll preface, focused on medical education, but beyond that, what is somebody going to get if they sign up for this?
So CME Palooza, we have two annual events. We have one in the spring, which we just concluded in April, and then we have one in the fall in October. And so they are both full day educational and I guess events. So we have typically, we have one-hour sessions, so we'll go from usually either 9 or 10 in the morning Eastern time until about 5 in the afternoon. And for each of our sessions, we try to kind of, we have a variety of topics, and we try to, get interesting panels together. We try to get different sorts of approaches to each of the sessions. And one of the nice things is because it's just Derek and I who are planning this, there's no committees to go through. Mm. So we get to be pretty creative with the kind of sessions that we're able to provide. We've tried all sorts of kind of, kind of unique sorts of things. So it's not just, let's get this group to together for an hour to talk about a topic. We'll kind of, mix things up. And we've done, I think what we called our Puntu Lurtu sessions, which I'm sure Derek will talk about a little bit later. We get to have fun with it, which I think is one of the things that Derek and I really like about it, and our audience really likes about it. We're sort of I think we call people call ourselves, the unconference, we sort of have a personality of being fun, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. And I think that's one of the things that our audience kind of really enjoys about our marketing campaign and our kind of lead up. And then, we're a little more casual than your button down suit and tie, live activity.
We're sort of burying the lead here, though. I don't think we've even mentioned that this is all done by Google Hangouts. Mm-hmm. So every session that we do, again, sort of the impetus for this was I had been fooling around with it back when Google Plus, rest in peace, I guess we can say now, since it's basically, I don't know, is Google Plus even still around? I mean, Hangouts sort of are, but I had been fooling around with some Hangouts and realized, again, at the same Alliance conference, there was a colleague of mine who was getting ready to do a presentation up on the main stage and had someone who had helped him put his slides together and done a lot of work, but she was over in the UK and couldn't be at the conference and was expressing disappointment that she couldn't watch the session. And I thought I could probably just do a Hangout and use my laptop and she can watch it, and did that. It was the first time I'd ever done any kind of a Hangout and just, had my laptop in the conference room. I realized later I probably should have asked someone first before I did that, but it all worked out in the end. And that was, at that point I realized, I bet we could use these Hangouts to just do different sessions like this throughout the day, and people could tune in. So we use a combination of, our website is, we use a WordPress website, and so we have a page where we, every hour we put up the next streaming video for the next session, and we go throughout the day doing that.
And you said, that was burying the lead to not say that, but another part of burying the lead is this is free. I mean, people don't have to pay to do this, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Go ahead, Scott. I interrupted.
I think that's always kind of one of our principal tenets is, it's free for anybody to watch. You can watch live. You can watch the archive version. We have every session since Derek started this on his own in 2014 is up on our website. Not only is the conference free to anybody who participates, but we spend, I think, about $20 a year. $18 a year. That those are our out of pocket costs for the conference. So this is sort of a do it yourself conference from every perspective.
I think you're probably making some event planners at associations cry right now when they hear $18 for a successful 2-day event. That's fantastic. So how then precise a read do you have on, how many people do attend each year and what they're getting out of it? Those sorts of metrics.
So what you get when you're in Google Hangouts is you get a count of the number of computers that are logged, that are actually viewing the session. So let's say we'll get 125, you know, computers that are viewing a specific session. That doesn't necessarily mean there's 125 people watching the session. We've talked to lots of folks who say they'll put CME Palooza on in their conference room. People can come and go throughout the day. So there may be five people that are watching, but that only counts as sort of one view for us. One of the nice things about Google Hangouts is it's synced with YouTube. So all the sessions, as soon as they're done, are automatically archived on YouTube. There's nothing that we have to do to archive the sessions. So all we need to do to put the archives up on our website is to plop the YouTube embed feed onto the website, which is another really, really great value of using Google Hangouts for this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that is a great aspect of Hangouts, and a lot of people I don't think have really tuned in to that being one of the major upsides of that particular tool. In fact, I haven't seen it adopted as broadly as it might be for continuing education. Now, along with Google Hangouts, you do also make quite a bit of use of Twitter, if I'm not mistaken, and the hashtag is that correct?
Yeah, that's sort of the tools that we use. You know, we use. For our marketing, we don't have any sort of an email list, but we do have, so we use WordPress and we have the blog. People can sign up for the blog, and so every time we do any kind of a new blog entry, it shows up in their inbox. So we have, I don't know, over 300 or so people who have signed up for the blog. We use Twitter, we use CME Palooza hashtag. We use it throughout the year just to give out little announcements, and then during the actual event, the day of the event, we'll use that for people to be able to ask questions as well as announcing, you know, what the next session is and that sort of thing. We give three different options during, in order to sort of increase interactivity, or try to. We give three different options for people to be able to ask questions during the sessions. They can either tweet their question using CME Palooza hashtag. They can send us, we have a text line that we use to Google Voice number that we put together, and so it'll automatically send text to both of us, so they can text and we've also, back in the old days when it was Google Hangouts run by Google Plus, they had a really nice Q&A app that you could use, which worked great. Then when Google Hangouts became basically YouTube Live, that they call it now, they took that app away, unfortunately. Scott, though, figured out a nice way. We use Google Slides, also has a really easy way for people to be able to ask questions. So we use that as well. So we give them three different options for being able to ask questions. Even with that, people still find other ways to ask questions by leaving comments on the blog in random places. before they come to us, and we find these questions later on, like, oh, someone left a question here. So we're still fine tuning the process.
Well, that's a good sign, though. You've got a crowd motivated enough to try to figure out how to ask that question, whatever it is. And so you've just recently completed the spring 2017 CM Palooza, and we'll definitely point folks to the archives for that. And you just go to cmpalooza.com. archive to find those, I believe. But what were some of your big takeaways from this year, and how did it compare to years previously?
Well, I think one of the big things every year is when you're getting a reasonably large group of folks together for any sort of video program, online video program, technology can be both an opportunity and it can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. I think both Derek and I, this spring, this was probably our best year from the perspective of having limited kind of emergency hurdles to kind of jump over, last minute hurdles, getting someone's video feed working right, getting their audio feed to work correctly. I don't think
you guys
really
both
ever
have
had
day jobs, right? So this is
we do
kind of
yeah.
a labor of love, yeah.
Yeah, we do a test with everyone in advance just to make sure that they have audio and video capabilities, and to try to forestall some of those emergency day of problems, but they'll still crop up from time to time. But I think that, you know, we've done this enough and sort of we know how to troubleshoot pretty well by now. So I think this spring was, you know, I think my biggest takeaway was I think, you know, we're now to the point where, you know, people are familiar enough with the technology. We have, you know, returning faculty a lots of times, and even with the new folks, you know, we're a little more savvy in sort of walking them through some of the issues that folks might have with the Google Hangout technology.
Yeah, I agree. I would second that. That was sort of one of my big takeaways as well. The technology keeps getting better and better. I should stress too, for people who want to try this, it is actually really fairly easy to do. We by no means are technology experts. We've learned some things just because we've done so many of these. But honestly, the way we get our faculty onto the session is we call the Hangout, we grab the link, and we send it in an email to the people who are participating in the session as faculty, and they click on the link and come on. That's really it, basically. Some of although I will say there's some people that even that can prove to be a little bit of a challenge. So we do have to work with them some. Because we work in healthcare, we have people who are behind some pretty fierce firewalls, whether they be in, you know, a pharmaceutical company or in a hospital setting. So we have to come up with some workarounds. That might just be that they do it from home instead of going into the office, or they use their phone and so they're on their wireless network instead of the Wi-Fi. But that actually worked out. We had one person who was just on their phone, didn't have their laptop. It worked out pretty well. I was surprised at how well. So every time we do this, it feels to me like it looks better and it's getting better and easier to do. And yeah, this time around was. And we also had a more engaged, I felt like anyway, I don't know if Scott felt the same way, more engaged audience this time. We had, at least for our first three or four sessions, we had a lot of questions that came in. People were starting to, you know, get how to ask a question on Twitter or to text or whatever it might be. Sometimes we had too many questions. It does every time. It never fails. You know, as the sessions go on, people tend to wear out a little bit, and we get fewer and fewer questions. But this time, I would say it was probably the best that we've had.
That's great. Interesting point that folks are engaged at the beginning, and it does tend to fade off a little bit, but at least, you know, they're able to go back later too and see the content, which I think is a great thing.
Yep.
Now, I know from, you know, having put together quite a few events myself that, you know, even with free technology and even without having to deal with committees and everything else, I mean, this is work. I mean, it does take some effort to put something like this together. So I'm interested, you know, what did the two of you get out of this? Why do you do it?
Well, I'll go first. I think we probably have very different reasons for it. You know, for me, you know, there's a couple things. You know, number one, this is sort of, you know, my fun sort of sideline activity. You know, when I'm having, you know, a busy day work-wise, you know, I'll just say, all right, I'm just going to do, you know, work on marketing CME Palooza for half an hour. But it's personally, it's great marketing for myself and for my business. I've gotten a lot of work just by being, you know, getting my name out there and connecting with a lot of our faculty and getting to know a lot of people in the community. One of the things we haven't talked about is we do get sponsors for our events. So our sponsors do pay money to be associated with CME Palooza. We promote our sponsors different ways. We always have sponsor events where people can win Amazon gift cards. We started that last year. So I think this was our third time going through that. So, I mean, financially, you know, we do make a little bit of money. I mean, it's not a ton. But that definitely does help. You know, I think Derek just you just bought a new Corvette, right?
Oh yeah.
I think with your sponsorship money.
A couple of
Yeah. So I think those are sort of personally, you know, the reasons that I'm involved. And, you know, I've got to put up with Derek, you know, so that definitely there definitely is a cost involved with that. So
yeah, when I first started this, it was an interesting time because I'd just been laid off from a previous job. So I had lots of time to dedicate. It was a good way for me to stay involved while maybe not working quite as much as I had been. Now the reason I keep doing it is because people seem to like it. We get really positive feedback. I like the niche audience that we seem to have developed. It is We get lots of different people who participate, but in particular, people who don't always, it costs a lot of money to send people to conferences.
Yeah.
It's $1,000 reg fee. So when you have a big staff or even a staff, 4 or 5 people, not everyone is going to that conference. So I think CMEPalooza gives people an opportunity to further their education who maybe don't have as many opportunities as some others might. And we've gotten some really nice feedback from, maybe some regional hospitals, whoever, and talk about how great it is that they can, they get pizza and broadcast this on to the screen for the whole staff to be able to watch. And so people who don't have those kinds of opportunities are able to do that. So, and the fact that it isn't a huge investment in our time, because if it was, I wouldn't be able to do it anymore. That we've got the process down. Mm-hmm. Certainly having two of us doing it makes it a lot easier. And so that, being able to work on it in the evenings or when I have a few extra minutes, keeps it that way. And that's also why we keep it. I'm going to say we keep it low tech. I don't mean that necessarily, but we've had offers. People have wanted us to use their technology to broadcast rather than the Google Hangouts. But mm-hmm. Part of it is sort of proving a point that when I did this the first time, I didn't even pay the $18 for. I used the free WordPress site. I wanted to show that you could do a whole conference for not any money. It helps that all of our faculty are volunteers, so
right.
We don't pay honoraria fee, that sort of thing. But it is sort of to prove a point that you don't have to spend huge amounts of money in order to put on a conference with good content that people will appreciate.
Definitely. And so if there are folks listening, whether they want to do this themselves or whether they want to do it as part of their organization, but to try something like CMEPalooza for their particular profession, what are some of the key points of advice that you would give?
I think whenever you're using new technology, whether it's Google Hangouts or something else, certainly test. Make sure that you are familiar with the technology. Make sure you know how it works. Make sure that you have some idea how to troubleshoot problems. I think one of the big things that I think Derek and I always emphasize, and I mentioned this earlier, is that we will always get on with all of our faculty in the weeks before their session, that familiarizes themselves with the platform, and it helps forestall some problems up front. It takes time to build an audience. I think when Derek did this the first time, like I said, he did it on his own. He kind of had his network, but now we're building our network slowly, word of mouth. A lot is word of mouth. We've sort of been able to sort of build a personality. Derek said people really enjoy it because we're a fun event. Derek and I have fun with it. And that's sort of how we branded, the conference. I don't know that we necessarily planned it that way, but that's just sort of how it's morphed. And we've sort of been able to kind of leverage that to the benefit of the events.
Yeah. I would say, don't be afraid to fail, because you're gonna, no matter how well you plan and review your materials beforehand, something will likely, there'll be some sort of a glitch. Even the last one we did, not this past one, but I guess back in the fall, my laptop spontaneously shut down right in the middle of a session.
Oh wow!
And then, but at the very first one of the day, of course, too, I got back on, was able to get everyone back on the Hangout, and we continued on. But things happen. And that's part of the reason we keep a little bit of a lighter tone as well, because if you're taking yourself so seriously and then something goes wrong, I think it just makes it exponentially worse than if you're already keeping sort of a light tone. Something happens, oh well, everyone just sort of shrugs their shoulders and goes on with it. It also, I think, has worked to our advantage as well, because I think that we do have faculty who maybe are willing to say a little more in this sort of a setting than they would in a more formal conference setting, standing up front with a suit and tie on.
That's a good point.
The looser environment, I think, helps with the interaction between. And we should say as well, most of the sessions we do are panel sessions. So it's more more than just, we do have an occasional where it's one person doing a presentation, but for the most part, it's panel, it's interactive. So I think that's sort of a tone. The informality of all of it is to our benefit.
Well, that's great. And I think, Scott, I think you've made the point a number of times throughout the interview about, you know, not taking yourselves too seriously, having kind of a sense of fun, a sense of humor about it. And I think that provides the context where you can take some of those risks that you're talking about, Derek. And I think that's probably a major lesson really for any individual or organization thinking about doing something like this or just thinking about their education business in general. I think we all tend to get a little too serious, take ourselves a little too seriously. That doesn't mean don't be professional. You guys are obviously very professional about this. But definitely there is room to have fun while you are learning, and that's actually maybe a good segue to a final question that we like to ask everybody who comes onto the Leading Learning Podcast, and that is, what are your own lifelong learning habits and practices? I mean, what do you do to stay on top of your game, build knowledge, build skills, grow personally in your own life?
Good one. I would say for me, one of the things that I've done, this started, it's been maybe about 5 years ago when I really, maybe it's been longer than that, I'm getting old. Social media, particularly Twitter and others, has been a great boost to my own personal learning. I've been amazed at how much that I can learn from others, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it might be, the number of resources available to me just increased dramatically. That I found things I never would have found if it wasn't for that. And so I've become a pretty big proponent of social media for professional use. I mean, I have my of course my own for outside of work, but for professional resources as well, has been a huge boost for me.
Great.
Yeah, and I have the one of the nice things. I live in downtown Philadelphia. I'm only a few blocks away from the main branch of the Free Library here. And my wife always kind of when I'll bring home a stack of books every time I go there. And my wife always looks at me like, "What exactly did you bring home this time?" And I just grab random stuff. One of the things I always emphasize to my son, he's six, is always feed your brain. So read a lot. Try to become well educated and well rounded, both within your profession. So I'll read, stuff about healthcare and medicine for sure, but outside of it as well. Find what you're interested in. Become as expert in those areas as you can, whether it has anything to do with your professional life or not. Just, I think it helps become a well rounded and interesting person.
Well, great. Thanks so much for sharing your practices. And as we're wrapping up here, I'll note again that listeners can of course find out all about CME Palooza at cmepalooza.com. You can get the archive, so you can go back and watch this year, watch previous events by going to cmepalooza.com/archive. For each of you personally, are there good ways that folks might be able to connect with you, whether that's on social media or by email or whatever the case might be, if they want to follow up and find out more?
Sure. So for me, it's, my website is medcasewriter.com. My hashtag on Twitter is medcasewriter. So either one of those is fine. I also use LinkedIn a lot, so folks can find me on there as well.
Great.
And for me, Twitter, I'm at the CME guy, and email thecmeguy@gmail.com. I'd also like to, if I may, in closing, I have to talk about one of my quick pet peeves and something I'm very passionate about, and that is the correct spelling of CME Palooza.
It's with a small P, right?
It is with a small P, right. Capital C, capital M, capital E, Palooza, all one word, lowercase Palooza, all one word.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to spread the word about that. I was actually spelling it incorrectly myself at first, and then I realized that
I wrote an entire blog entry all about that, and people still can't get it right.
Well, and I will note too, as we're wrapping up, that Derek, I can see Derek by video here, and he is wearing the CME Palooza T-shirt, and y'all really need to set up an order form on the site so that people can.
It's a collector's item.
It's a collector's item. Well, if you go public with it, you know, make sure that people know. So, well, great guys, thanks so much. I really appreciate your taking the time to be on the Leading Learning Podcast.
Sure, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jeff.
That wraps up our interview with Derek Warnick and Scott Kober. As we're exiting, we want to say thanks again to Castle, a full-service certification and licensure testing company that also offers a variety of learning solutions capabilities. You can find out more about Castle's custom learning solutions at leadinglearning.com/castle.
To get show notes for this episode, go to leadinglearning.com/episode83. And while you're there, you'll also see the various options that we have for subscribing to the podcast. And if you're not already subscribed and you're getting value out of the podcast, we'd be truly grateful if you would subscribe.
We would also be grateful if you'd take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. Go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. We would really appreciate this, and it helps others find the podcast.
Last but not least, consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet simply by going to leadinglearning.com/share. Or if you want to send the word out by some other channel, you can take the language in that tweet and put it into LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever your social media network of preference is.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.